Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy Thursday. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. It is the 10th of January, and we have in the broadcast bungalow today, Dwayne Hack, who is the chapter president of West Georgia Right to Life. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. We've got so much to talk about, but first of all, we just want to tell everyone that the 22nd is a special day of this month, right?
Yes, you guys? Over in Atlanta. Roe v. Wade was put through the Supreme Court in 1973. And so this is the, if I do my math right, this is the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the week of the 19th. Mm. But down in Atlanta, there's a numerous people from all across the state, really, down South Georgia, North Georgia, and they come up to Atlanta. We meet at Liberty Park, which is right next to the Capitol, and it starts at 11 o'clock. And there's a time of prayer, there's a singing, and there's also some speakers that come in.
Who have you got coming in this year?
You know what? I don't recall. I know the brothers came last year, the two Christian brothers. Uh-huh. They gave a speech last year. This year, I can't recall who it is, but that's till about 12. And then from 12 to 12:30, there's some state representatives, senators that come out, talk a little bit. And then we go ahead somewhere around 12:45 to 1 o'clock. We make a circle all around downtown Atlanta. A very silent vigil memorial. To the 60 million that have been aborted since 1973.
How do we know that number? I mean, I imagine is that a hard number?
You know, there's two states that don't report, but this is all through the CDC, and there's a company, there's a group called the Guttmacher Institute.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're really a pro-abort marketing firm that puts numbers together, but they report numbers every year. And so the last number we had was 60 million, like 60 million 100, but that would have been for 2016. They're typically about a year, year and a half behind. So 60 million since 73. And that's what we know of. We don't know about Rhode Island. There's another state that doesn't participate in the survey as well.
That sounds like a ghoulish number for pro-abortion people to want to keep track of, you know?
Yeah.
60 million. Yay.
Well, you know, and I always tell people, I go to churches locally, and we can probably talk more about what we do as a local guy, local chapter. But, you know, in my mind, 60 million, it's a number. Okay, so let's put some connotation to it visually. And so I always go when I'm doing our church presentations, we talk in your mind, look at Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland. And kind of put that grouping in your mind
and
wipe it out.
That's 60 million people?
Wipe
all of those?
It's gone. Huh. It's gone. 60 million people. You know, those could have been the next, you know, research scientist for cancer or for president or, you know, I mean, just goes on and on and on. But that's 60 million population right now.
Let me back up a little bit then. While we kind of absorb that statistic, when you put it in the terms in which you just put it, it's stunning.
Devastating.
It is devastating. Yeah. And we'll talk about that probably in the second segment. But let's just get to know you a little bit. Dwayne, you're not new to the bungalow, but you're the chapter president, West Georgia Right to Life. Mm-hmm. What's your role? What's your function? What drew you to this? How long have you been? Just fill us in.
Yeah, give you a 30,000-foot view.
Yes,
okay,
please.
Cool. Yeah, no, I live in Carrollton. I attend Liberty Baptist Church in Bowdoin. I've been in the Right to Life movement probably since the late 80s. And how I really got involved was we were going to church in Montgomery where we were living, my wife and I and children. And we had somebody come in and speak to our church and said something about right to life and pro-life. And, you know, I'd always, you know, come up believing in the right to life but didn't really know about it. And so this person challenged us and said, you know, what are you doing to make a difference in the world today in the Right to Life movement? I wasn't doing anything. You know, I was I was sitting in a pew teaching a Sunday school class, but really not getting involved with Right to Life. So we moved to Carrollton. I can't remember the date that we moved, but we moved up here and I got involved with Georgia Right to Life. Mm-hmm. And so Georgia Right to Life is the state chapter. And then met a couple people here that were involved with it, got really engaged with them and they resigned their position.
When you say you got engaged, what pulled you even further?
You know, there was something inside of me that, well, for instance, and I think we're on Facebook. I mean, this is something that they showed at the meeting. I'm going to give you one.
I think you gave me one of these ages ago. Should I hold it up for, oh, by the way, we are on Facebook Live.
Okay, cool.
Other camera? Cool. Hey, everybody. Okay, so
that's a 12-week babe in the womb.
Seriously?
12 weeks old.
So
exact size, exact weight, everything, Lori.
I'll hold it up to the microphone. So you did little earlobes, eyes.
Nose, mouth. Everything.
12 weeks is, when does the heart start beating?
3 to 4.
That's all.
3 to 4 weeks you start hearing the heartbeat. Oh, you can pick up sound. You go to PRC, which I'm on the advisory board. And I
PRC.
Work with them, so I'm Pregnancy Resource Center.
Okay.
And, you know, they go in and do ultrasounds, and you can pick that up. But that's 12 weeks. So let me give you another math statistic, because this is what really got me involved. When I saw this and started listening to this gentleman, 12% of all abortions, 12 to 14% of all abortions occur after this size.
Mm-hmm. How many?
12 to 14% after 12 weeks. Okay, there's one number that says 12.5, another one says 13. So do the math. 60 million times even 10%. That's 6 million babies that have been aborted past this size.
They're pain capable, do we know?
Yes.
We say the
statistics that we have from Georgia Right to Life is pain capable at about 14 weeks. Mm. So they're able to feel. And unfortunately, the statistics show us that they're pain capable three times the amount of an adult like you and I. So you go in and get a pin and put it in your finger and it hurts. Multiply that times three times. And that's because their raw nerves are so raw. You know, their nerve ends are so raw that they feel it even three times as much. So that's really, you know, circling back around, that's what got me involved when I saw that and said, this isn't China. This isn't a third world country. This is America. Why are we doing this? You know, the Lord have mercy on us for this. I mean, that's, in, you know, the innocent blood that's been spilled.
Just to play devil's advocate, and I have heard this from some of my more cynical friends, and they'll say, well, you know, the vast majority of aborted fetuses would have been born into great poverty, single parent home, drug addict, that sort of thing. Yeah. What's your response to that?
My response is, when did we become gods? Mm-hmm. When did we make that choice? It's a whole separate DNA line. The babe in the womb is a whole separate DNA line. It's a whole different human being. When did we become making a choice of what lives and what doesn't live? Because that's a slippery slope. When
we start doing
that, which we're already on it, when we start saying, okay, so where do you draw the line at? Do you draw the line at, okay, maybe because somebody has slightly Down syndrome, you're going to go ahead and abort that baby?
Now, I've seen conversations about that very thing recently.
Right. We had an individual that used to go to our church, and I won't give their names out, but they're on the front cover of our brochure, and they went in for a doctor's visit, and the doctor said, you know what, this doesn't look good. You guys might want to consider abortion. She said, no, I'm a Christian. That's a human being. Mm-hmm. The baby was born. She has some challenges with epilepsy. Not epilepsy, the ability to walk in her legs, okay?
Okay.
But otherwise, she's perfectly fine. Healthy baby. So where do you draw that line, Lori, that says, okay, I'm going to make the determination that that human being isn't allowed to live?
Well, maybe after the first break, we'll talk more about that, because just as a teaser, you know, what do we hear from the other side? We hear, it's a woman's right to choose. It's her body. It's, you know, so let's just see what your responses are to that and many other questions. But first, we're going to hear from Tanner Health System. And in 60 seconds, we'll be back with Dwayne Hack. We're talking about the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, March for Life on Tuesday the 22nd. So stick around and hear more.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama. Because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And we're back. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second segment of Community Voice, the Thursday, January 10th edition. This is Lori Wilson with you and Dwayne Hack, Chapter President of West Georgia Right to Life. We were talking over the break about just sort of getting into the arguments on either side of this abortion question. Yeah. But let's go back to the history that you mentioned as sort of our entree. 1973, Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. What precisely was the ruling?
Okay. Yeah, that's in that case. Good start off. Okay, there was two decisions that day, which a lot of people don't know.
Mm-mm,
that.
I didn't.
Roe v. Wade was 73, and there was actually a Roe person, and she has later in life came out and said she was pro-life, and yeah, I don't think you've heard the story. She came out and said she was pro-life and all that. So what Roe v. Wade did was a 7-2 Supreme Court decision. And what they said was a woman has a right for an abortion. And they used a legal ruling in the past about the Privacy Act. It was in the Constitution, and they spun that as saying it's a woman's privacy act that allowed for abortion. But the second ruling that day, which a lot of people don't know about, and it was Doe versus Bolton. The morning was Roe v. Wade. The afternoon was Doe versus Bolton. Doe versus Bolton was a Georgia case that went all the way up to the Supreme Court from the state of Georgia. And it was a Jane Doe versus the Attorney General Bolton from Georgia. Georgia at that time was the most conservative pro-life state in the union. Bolton said that, no, you can't. You can have an abortion based on Supreme Court ruling of this morning, but you can't have it for a specific period of time because of all the restrictions that Georgia had on it. The Supreme Court made the ruling that said in Doe versus Bolton, yes, a woman can now have an abortion, and they can have it all 9 months of pregnancy, up to the last minute, to the last second.
That's
which
the part
is still
that kills
in the law
me.
Today.
Yeah. All the way to the end.
Just before you could be on the birth table getting ready to give birth and can have an abortion.
Who was it that famously said, so famous that I don't remember who it was, that a fetus is viable only after the mom chooses to take it home from the hospital?
There's some religious individuals. I mean, there are some religious organizations that believe in that.
Wow.
I mean, it's just crazy. But, you know, and that's the part that a lot of people don't understand. It's all 9 months. But was really crazy, right after that ruling came about, here's what one of the writers, the opinion writers for that stated, and let me find my note here because I want to make sure that I speak it out correctly. But one of the opinion writers wrote that if the calling of personhood ever existed, that Roe v. Wade would be overcome based upon the Constitution. So basically he said in his opinion that if the ruling of the Roe v. Wade decision ever comes down to the point of personhood, where personhood becomes law, now that babe in the womb is protected by the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment reads, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property, which due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law.
So the argument is that it's not this growth in a woman's uterus is not a person yet.
That's correct.
Okay. Right.
That's the argument.
So their whole argument hinges on us not viewing, what is it, unviable tissue mass?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're pushing really hard for personhood. You know, abortion, yes, is the major factor of all this. But if you can ever declare the babe in the womb as a person, number one, it has constitutional rights. Mm. And number two, it defines the broader spectrum, you know, of you know, other diseases, other issues within the womb that possibly that babe would have the right to live under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution.
So why are there any arguments, pro-abortion arguments, that you think are a lot more hard to counter than just these questions?
Yeah, well, let me do it to you. Okay. I wrote a letter to the editor, and I'm hoping that it gets into our local newspaper. But there's three different talking points that we address all the time with pro-aborts.
Okay.
Their first one is size. They say, well, it's just small. This is only a 12-week baby. This is only a 12-week tissue in the womb. It's small. And our counterpunch to that is, okay, so if I have two 14-year-olds and one of them is 5'8" and the other one is 5'1", are we going to abort the smaller one because of its size? Are we going to hold that against it because of its size? This is still a babe. This is still a human being. Mm-hmm. So how can you tell me that it doesn't have a right to life even though it's just small in its size? Secondly is location. They say, well, because it's in the mother's womb, it hasn't taken its first breath, it hasn't come out of the womb yet, it's still within that womb of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because of location. And we say, okay, so if I have two individuals, and one lives in Roopville and one lives in Temple, I'm going to go ahead and abort the Temple one because of its location. Does that really matter? Does location matter?
Well, because I mean, that one, I'm not arguing for abortion, but I mean, the baby until a certain point can't survive outside the womb. So I kind of get the location. I get that, although we're also looking at an entity, we'll say, within the womb that has maybe different, it's not the mother. The entity
that's
is
correct.
Not the mother.
That's correct.
Probably has, it might very well have a different blood type,
well,
right?
It's a whole different DNA line. The chromosomes are different in the babe versus the mother. So
yeah.
It is a whole separate entity to itself. And then the last one we talk about is dependency. You know, sometimes people say, well, that babe is so dependent on its mother. And we say, well, so does dependency really matter? And so if I'm taking high blood pressure medicine or if I'm taking treatments for cancer or something, you know, and that's the high blood pressure medicine is my dependency to live, then why should that matter if this babe is dependent upon its mother to live?
Well, it's kind of a rich argument coming from liberals who, after the babies are born, love to make them dependent on the government. So
Yeah, that's right. It's a good flip, but yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, those are the challenges, and you always see the my choice, my decision signs at all the rallies and all that. And you
did have stay out of my body or something like that.
Yeah, you did have a choice, and you chose at that point to become pregnant. And so
that's where the argument really ends up breaking down. That's where that's when you go, look, you know what causes pregnancy. You had a pregnancy. Oh, don't know. And then that's just a bridge too far. And then conversation just stops down. It just shuts down.
Yeah. You had that choice.
How dare you?
So you know, those are the battles that we face. And again, we've got the talking points. They've got the talking points.
Where are you going to ever, I mean, what hope do we have to at least dial back Roe v. Wade?
Personhood. Personhood is our battle cry right now.
Okay.
I mean, it is the battle cry. And we're seeing more and more of states jumping on to some kind of a personhood. We had a personhood amendment here in Carroll County. Well, it was a straw ballot poll several years ago. And 68% of the people, it was on our ballot in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of legal verbiage in it, which I wasn't for. But at the end, 68% of the people said that we would be in favor of having a personhood amendment to the Georgia Constitution, which would state that that is a viable living human being within the womb of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our battle cry right now, because everything goes back to it being a person. I mean, common sense tells me if that's not a person, then tell me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a heart. It's got all the pieces that it needs. It just needs time to develop and grow.
But then, you know, I don't know this new president of Planned Parenthood, but I remember Cecile Richards just saying, look, if it's mine to choose. I have the right to choose while the baby's life is so dependent on me. If I'm the carrier of this, of this bacteria, she makes it sound like, you know, then it's my choice.
You know, it's kind of interesting you said that. I was talking to somebody who was a pro Planned Parenthood person.
Mm.
I said, so what is it then? She said, well, it's just tissue.
Yeah.
It's just tissue within a human being.
Unviable tissue mass.
Okay. It's an unviable human mass. So when you when Planned Parenthood got caught taking all this unviable tissue, it's selling it. What did you call it? Well, we call it human tissue. Okay, so you're speaking with forked tongue. Mm. Here it's unviable tissue. Here it's human mass that could be used for experiments, for et cetera, et cetera. So you speak with different tones and different tongues.
On that thought, let's take a quick break. When we get back, more with Dwayne Hack, we're going to talk about more about the March for Life coming up. And also, I want to talk about an article that I just read just last night about something the new president of Planned Parenthood said on Twitter, which is always a great conversation starter. So stick around, everyone, after this from Tanner Health System.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And we're back. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the final segment of today's edition of Community Voice. This is Lori Wilson with you. Dwayne Hack and I, Chapter President, West Georgia Right to Life. We are having a conversation about the upcoming 46th anniversary, if you want to put it that way, I guess, of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. I had forgotten about Doe v. Bolton.
Yeah, that was a big one. That's right from Georgia. I mean, it started at the roots of Georgia and worked all the way through the local judicial systems, the circuit courts, up all the way through the Supreme Court. Abortion all 9 months. It's legal. Mm. This is America. I mean, that's the part that really gets to me, is this is America. This isn't
China, Russia.
Yeah, North Korea. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is America that we're talking about.
We're talking about human lives, and we do know so much more. And we have better technology and processes. I don't know if that's the word, but babies can be born earlier and earlier and still be viable and still be, you know, be able to leave the hospital healthy and...
Yeah, I had a friend of mine whose child was born at 26 weeks.
Wow.
Stayed in the hospital for a while, mm-hmm. and perfectly fine, you know.
We have all these babies. It was 60 million and some. Would that have caused overpopulation in the United States? Should we be happy that we're not so overpopulated? That's something that I hear a lot.
I mean, you know, we hear that sometimes. And again, you don't want to put a financial dollar to an aborted baby. To me, you know, but there was a gentleman who he was out of Gainesville, Georgia. He's a financial guy, Larry something. I forget his name, but I was reading his article in preparation for this, and he talked about the financial losses by those that were aborted between the years of 76 and 96. If you took just that period of time, mm-hmm. where abortions really spiked, simply because people were still maybe ignorant to the fight for anti-abortion, mm-hmm. he put a number of $202 billion we would have lost, because all those people would have at one time put money into Social Security. You know, those would have been working individuals that, from a Social Security standpoint, would have placed funds into the Social Security system, which, you know, now you hear different rumors is going to be defunct in 2034 or whatever that number is at. But, you know, so by losing 60 million, how much of those funds did we lose that enabled Social Security to keep going?
I wonder if we'd have an immigration problem now, because the argument is we need workers. Yeah.
Could be. Hmm.
So there are so many entailments to this argument, obviously. So, I mean, emotional, scientific, you know, just the spectrum. But what would you say the pro-abortion's essential argument is? Is it choice? Is it some sort of, hey, let me live my life and I don't want to have to suffer the very serious consequences of my life choices?
Financial, it's my body, would be typically the two talking points. It's my body, you know, hey, look, it's protected. I'm protected by the law. I'm protected by the Supreme Court. You know, you're interfering with my personal life. You know, that's probably the number one. And unfortunately, abortion has become a situation of convenience. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no telling how many folks I've talked to who have had family members or others have had two or three abortions. Mm-hmm. Just the other day, I was at a local hardware store and talking to somebody cutting some wood. And he said, yeah, he said, my neighbor, she's had three abortions.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a child out of wedlock. I mean, just stuff like that that... I got the number here. You know, we're going to talk about how many abortions have occurred, which we already did. Mm-hmm. But in 2014, here's some statistics, which I don't want to get deep in the weeds in it. But 60% of the women that have had abortions were in their 20s.
Oh, man.
60%. So that's the reason why we're going to West Georgia. I'm partnering with another organization, and we're going to put up a board. They're going to talk about Christ and who is God, but then we're going to have some questions that we're going to ask about when does life begin? Mm-hmm. You know, when do you call us a person? To try to get that age group of, you know, 18 up to 24.
Are you going to get any pushback, do you think?
I did it 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and I was very surprised how positive it was.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very surprised how positive it was. We didn't really have any apples thrown at us or tomatoes or anything. I mean, they were real positive, asking questions. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't want to get into an argument with somebody. I just want to lay the facts, and then in their silent time, sit and think about this is a baby at 12 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, during their own special time. 59% of the women that have had abortions have more than one abortion. 59% of the people have more than one. 86% have been unmarried that have had abortions. 75% said the reason why they're doing it is economical disadvantaged. They can't do it. 62% had a religious affiliation, which surprised me. Mm. They've heard the word preached before.
You know, Cecile Richards, she said, she proudly said, I think she has three children, but if she ever got pregnant again, she's going to have an abortion. And that was just so cool. I remember people going, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
she's really walking the talk.
and what's you know, we talk about the minorities, and in the black community in the state of Georgia, mm-hmm. the black community represents 30% of our population, but 60% of the abortions occur in the black community. So put your arms around that. 30% of Georgia's population are of the black African American community, but 60% of the abortions occur in that area. So you have to think a little bit deeper. Think about what the money line. Planned Parenthood, why is it that they always put these abortuaries up in the lower income areas? Mm-hmm. You know, why is it that it's in, you know, West Atlanta?
Why is it?
Columbus. Well, because to me, they're using that as a venue that says, hey, look, we can help you get through this. You're having a tough time. Why not an abortion? This will help you from your financial standpoint. And they're getting $555 million from us taxpayers to perform abortions across the country. $550 million they receive in federal grants, Planned Parenthood does.
So the government somehow at some point accepted the premise that it was a public good.
Right, right. Well, because you go to the website and look at what they do. You know, they say mammograms. They don't have a license for mammograms.
That's right.
Yeah, they just third party it.
There's
a lot of stuff that they third party out. But they're receiving our tax dollars. And again, it's a nut and shell game. They say, no, we're not using that for abortions.
Minute and a half left. Yeah. When you do your demonstration on the 22nd around the state capitol, are you going to encounter protesters?
Oh, absolutely. We go right through Georgia State.
Yeah.
We go right up the road. We go right up the road underneath the overpass at Georgia State.
Our universities are so radicalized these days that abortion is just... That's just an article of faith for those guys.
And it's a shame because Planned Parenthood does try to capture that lower income either black population or minority populations. And Margaret Sanger even said back in her statement, you know, Birth Control Review, she said here, the African Americans and the poor are as human weeds, reckless breeders spawning human beings who never should have been born.
Nice.
Why is it that 80% of all Planned Parenthood facilities are located in inner city depressed areas with high concentration of minority populations?
Just think about that, everybody. That's our takeaway. Just think about the cynicism behind this whole movement. Dwayne Hack, thank you so much for being with us today.
You bet.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll be back in 23 and a half hours. So just set your clock. Bye.
National headlines, Georgia State news and sports, and the local stories you care about. News Talk 13.